And then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you're probably getting tired of my preaching. You've been hearing the same thing over and over and over again about all these good works that God is calling you to do. But the reason I keep kind of harping on this is because I'm very concerned by the laziness that I see in the American church. And that we in this congregation are not immune to it either. I myself am not immune to it either. And so then we reflect, what's the problem here? Is it that we're afraid? Is it that we have no energy or that we're overworked? At the base of it all lies that answer of sin. And it might seem like the easy answer to just blame everything on sin, but I mean, really, it's the truth. That is a struggle that we have in our sins, is that it even leads us to be lazy, to be selfish. And as Paul is telling us today from Colossians, that we need to look inwardly and see this evil that is inside of us. We need to hold up a mirror to ourselves and see the problem that we have. But we don't like to do that, do we? It doesn't really make us feel super good to look at our failures or our shortcomings. But yet another part of this that I always kind of struggle with is, if Christ has come, has died, has risen again, has ascended into heaven and will return to us, why are we still struggling with sin? Why is sin still such a problem? And with these things in mind, that's where I want us to dive into Colossians. And as Paul begins in this process, there was at one time where we were alienated from God. We were strangers. We were foreign. Even though we were created by Him, we were essentially not His. And this alienation, as Paul puts it today, led us to hostility. And what does that hostility actually look like? Well, for many of us in this congregation, we might not really know exactly what that hostility looks like, because, or even that alienation, because you were purchased back in your baptisms at a very young age. But yet for our world today, we can definitely see that hostility. The hostility is that how people just simply push away God, either with a thought or without a thought. That God is just simply not a part of their lives, or that's just what you believe. We see for many out there that truth is made personal, right? What's true for me might not be true for you, and what's true for you might not be true for me. And it is in this trap that there is hostility towards God, who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, as He Himself declares. But yet for Paul, in his context, it was a little more common to deal with people who were going from this one state of alienation to this new state of reconciliation. Paul was dealing with a lot of converts, people who didn't know Christ, who then actually lived during the time of Christ and got to know even who He was, may have even met Him, may have even seen Him. And it is in this that he is warning them about the life that they are now called to live, as they are called to reconciliation. See, in this alienation, though, we must be aware too, because we're not immune. Just because we are baptized and call on the name of the Lord doesn't mean that we can't fall away from it. So we can take this as a warning to ourselves to avoid that pushing away of God. A very wise thing is to understand that no one is immune to it. But then Paul leads us to see either our current state or the future state available for you right now. That you have been reconciled or that you can be reconciled. We look at God and we see that for Him, this act of reconciliation or being made right with God is a one-time thing. That our sinful flesh was purchased back from sin and alienation by the righteous, reconciling flesh of Christ. He takes our place on the cross. He offers Himself up for all people so that we would be made right with God. And this is done for all of us, for you, for me, and as Paul puts it so wonderfully, so that we can stand before God holy, blameless, and above reproach. Christ took off his holiness and gave it to us to suffer in our place. He took off his blamelessness to be that guilty one who suffered on our behalf. And as Jesus was above reproach, so now this is our life. But now it's important that we understand exactly what that means. That we are holy means that we are set apart for God's purposes. We are blameless, meaning that we stand before the Father in heaven with no sin in his eyes. He sees us as perfect. Above reproach means that no fault can be found in us. And in this new state of living as the reconciled, as those have been made perfect and new, I think we all realize and see that sometimes it takes a while. We like to think of things sometimes as being instantaneous. Sometimes we think of faith as being an instant thing. That as soon as you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, boom, you're changed forever. But for those of us who have been going through this for a while, we understand that it is a journey. It's a long process. And then as we reflect on our struggles with sin, struggling with if we've been made perfect, why do we still struggle with sin? I like to think of the journey of faith as a way for myself, at least, to understand this and rationalize this. Because a big part of this journey is knowing that you have been made perfect while you are being made perfect. There are great lessons on this journey to be learned by breaking yourself of your sin and your sinful addictions through the help of God. This great journey which leads you to trust in the Lord more and more for all aspects of your life. And it's not an instantaneous thing. You might not even trust in God right now, but have begun your journey of faith many years ago. It is a constant state of transition that we are in, being prepared and made perfect before God, so that then we can be led to bear the good works, the good fruits of the Spirit that we hear in Galatians, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? All those things put together are those things that we are now called to. But yet, remember that this is a journey. You might not be there yet. And that's why I like to think of it as this, because this helps me rationalize, well, why do I still struggle with these things? Well, it's because I'm working on getting better. But now, on this journey, I want you to think about how you are growing. How is your faith growing? Faith is like a delicate little seed that you must feed, water, and nurture. And this is one of the big purposes of the church, is to gather together and nurture those seeds of faith in our hearts. We gather together as the reconciled, those who have been made righteous in the eyes of God, who stand before God as perfect people, but also as those who are growing towards perfection. And as we gather together as the saints of God, we gather together to nurture that faith. Doing so by hearing the word of God, by joining together in song, by joining together in prayer, when we offer the Lord's sacrament, by joining together in that too. But also, we must remember that this growth of faith is not a passive thing. We cannot expect to be a part of the church of God and just sit in a pew on Sundays. It takes an active involvement, right? As James has told us in his book, faith without works is dead. It is something that takes activity and liveliness. But the problem always is, as we're growing to get to that point, the problem always is, well, how do I actually do it? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? And Paul's answer for that is this ministry of reconciliation, which is kind of vague, but he's called to be a minister of this gospel, which, again, is vague. I'm a minister of the gospel just as much as you are, but yet our roles look very different. And Paul shows us what the ministry of reconciliation looks like through his example, that how God works through his ministry to bring the joy of the gospel to the Gentiles. But that's pretty intimidating, isn't it? I don't think that any of us could just get up and just go and do what Paul did. He had a very special and unique personality that God gifted him with so that he could do this, right? Jesus said as he called Paul, he will see how much he has to do for me. He will see. But so that's why I'm always reminded of that great hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling, where we hear that, I love this verse. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus, you can say he died for all. If you cannot rouse the wicked with judgment's dread alarms, you can lead the little children to the Savior's waiting arms. A large part of this ministry that we've been called to is simply preaching the word, right? Do you believe that there is power in the word of God? If you do, then preach it. Do you believe that God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Then share that. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is active and powerful, calling you to preach the word? Then preach it. But I think that a lot of the problems that we have is as we think about these things, we think, oh, I have to go on and become a missionary or a deaconess or a pastor or a DCE. I have to do this grand gesture in order to get into this ministry. But the reality is, why I like that verse so much, is if you can't preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. That's it. No grand gesture. Just tell people about the love that God has there for them. If you can't rouse the wicked with that law and gospel proclamation, getting them to repent and turn away from their sins, then go to the children and teach them to know, love, trust, and rely upon God. It is through these works that God has called you to serve. God has chosen to work through you to bring about his new life and reconciliation for all nations. But it requires involvement. You must be involved. And again, this is where I worry about the laziness that we see in our church. And again, it's not just the American church, but even Trinity. There are so many people I know here who I don't know if they're involved in anything. Now, I could be wrong. That's very possible. But my worry is, what are you doing for yourself besides being fed? If we just simply eat and eat and eat all day without expelling any energy, we become fat and lazy. And God wants you to be fed to give you that energy to go out to love and serve as he has called you to do. Being a part of this new life, being part of being reconciled, is more than just gathering together for Sunday worship. It's also gathering together in small groups, gathering together to pray for people, gathering together to make pies, gathering together in Bible study, in neighborhood groups. And I think it's important that we always remember that we are called to be a part of the body of Christ. We are not called to go alone. This is something that we do together. And so you really need an attitude change. We all do. And again, it's a part of that journey of faith to where we see that we don't rely upon ourselves, that we rely upon God, where we see that we don't go it alone, that we go with one another as the church. The problem, again, though, with sin and with Satan is that it even uses God's word to fool us and lead us astray. We all know of the beauty of Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And the sin and lie of Satan tells you to stop right there. But Paul continues by saying, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And yes, as we reflect on salvation, it is all God's work who has, like we, I love to say, called us out of darkness into his light. But yet that doesn't mean that we now get to be lazy. It means that we are now called to work, to do those good works that, as Paul says, God has prepared for us to do. This is how God has chosen to work through you, through all your faults, through all your strengths, through the weaknesses that you experience in life and through the joys that you experience, through your tears, through your smiles. God has chosen to work through you. And it is not an option. You must go. The Great Commission given to the church is to go, to make disciples, to baptize, to preach, to teach, to lead people to God. And as we in the American church are concerned about decline, growth in the church, whether it's growing or shrinking, is directly linked to how people are involved. And we at the church are constantly trying to provide places for you, but there are empty spots for our fair booth. We always struggle to find people to serve on boards. We struggle to find people to greet people at the door. These are the places that you are being called to serve, to love and share the word of God. And not only with the outside world, but even to your brothers and sisters here. You need to change your mind, your attitude about how you live your life as a Christian, as you journey in this journey of faith with God, that you can see where He has called you for you to be involved, that God has chosen you, that He has chosen to work through you, through all of this. But we also have to realize that things don't happen if we don't go. Faith is an active way of life. And as Christ has transformed you, you have been made new for God and His purposes. Prepare to walk in those good works in this ministry. Now, this might be convicting for some of you, and I hope that it is. I hope that it's convicting for all of us, myself included. But I want us to remember the words of Paul from Colossians here, that you have been made holy, blameless, and above reproach before God. Before God, you are perfect. Before God, your sins are forgotten. Before God, you are not your sins. You are a holy and beloved child. And so do not dwell on your failures. Dwell on the fact that you are called to walk on a path that I keep calling the journey of faith, but as we have also heard it called, the narrow way. This long and winding path with many hills and valleys and places to go. Do not sink yourself into a depression worrying about your sins or your past failures, but understand that this journey is leading you to a change, to a new life that God has called you to. And as Paul describes us, it is to that reconciliation that God has worked and brought to this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.